Acts chapter 1, verse 3, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many unfulfilled, infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God.
So we talked about yesterday that during these 40 days, for the first time ever, Jesus spoke to people who were actually living under a new covenant. Everything had changed. The kingdom transitioned from being a physical kingdom that was run by rules and laws and regulations and depended upon man, and it transitioned to a kingdom that's within us, and it's guided by the Holy Spirit. And he, in all of the Gospels, he speaks several things, just different things that he wanted the disciples to know, because they're the ones that are carrying on the kingdom. Just like you are the ones that are going to be carrying on the kingdom. The Holy Spirit works through you, giving you revelation. The new kingdom works by revelation. And as the Holy Spirit writes his word upon your heart, you're a witness of those things that he has revealed to you. And we covered yesterday the idea that it comes by revelation. It doesn't come by head knowledge. You can have a lot of head knowledge. And last night, Tom and I were talking, and he was talking about someone wanted him to write a book because the Lord had showed him something concerning finances or investing. And he thought about it, but you know, that was what God showed me. And I found this a lot of times. When I try to read someone else's book, and maybe in an area that I need help in, it sounds good, but it's hard to do sometimes because that was their formula. It was their revelation that God led them through to the place where they needed to be. But he has to do that for every one of you individually. And our goal is just to feed you some ideas. Just maybe it will trigger something in your mind where you can begin to think differently. Until it becomes yours, it's head knowledge. And we have a lot of head knowledge, but we can't walk out of it because it's not heart knowledge. And the revelation from God is really the grace of God. Because grace is the divine influence of God upon your heart. That's the prompting of the Spirit. By grace, you're saved. By grace, you're able to walk in this kingdom that's within you. That's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And without a revelation of the Spirit, you'll never see those things. But salvation is for right now. Walking those things out is right now. But it comes a revelation from the Spirit of God. Another thing that Jesus spoke to his disciples was, you are my witnesses. And a witness is not someone that just goes, have you heard about Jesus? Mm-hmm. A witness is someone who has a living experience of God. And the thing that you have to share is what God's been working in you. The revelation that you have is your most powerful testimony. What God's been doing in you. And then Jesus said, go and preach repentance and remission of sins. Everything changed after Jesus rose from the dead. The old kingdom brought bondage because it caused men to be sin conscious and they could never come out from under that sin consciousness. But Jesus said, go and preach repentance with remission in my name. He said, I have taken care of everything that keeps you from seeing yourself as able to be a son of God. I've taken care of the flesh. Go and set people free with this. And we preach it sometimes in religion. Well, you have to say you're sorry for every sin. Okay, focus on your sins. Tell God you're sorry. Then he can forgive you and invite you into the kingdom. But really what he's saying is, the direction you change is where you run to instead. Become God conscious. Realize that I have all these issues, but I'm unable to solve them. But God says, if you'll look to me, look to what Jesus has done for you, relief will come, remission will come, and then you can get on with the kingdom. Because the kingdom is not about rules and regulations. It's about taking on the identity as a son and an heir, and seeing yourself the way that God sees you. Today, We want to go to Matthew chapter 28. And Nikki, if you would read Matthew 28, verse 18 and 19.
Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 and 19. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
We use baptism as a ceremony in churches. And religion has gotten a hold of this. We're so careful about whether you're immersed in water, whether you're sprinkled, how you say the words. I was baptized twice because the first minister said, I baptize you in the name of Jesus. But the second one says, well, I make sure I cover all the bases. So I baptize you in the name of Jesus, who commanded you to be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I've been in churches where baptism is related to membership. I've seen people hurt. And we have this concept, and it's true. We teach that you died with Jesus. When you go under the water, you're dead, and you come up a new creation. But it never really gets into our consciousness. We never really see. A lot of people don't see what that really means. It's not a religious ceremony. And if you go with me to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 8 and 10, 8 through 10,
Hebrews chapter 9, verses 8, 9, and 10. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet manifest, while as the first tabernacle was not yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the sacrifice, that did the service, perfect, as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and diverse washings and cardinal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation.
And the word diverse washing means baptismos. It couldn't make people perfect under the old covenant, all the sacrifices, all the gifts, as pertaining to the conscience. And remember yesterday what the word conscience means? Co-perception. You can never see yourself as one with God. There's always a barrier between you and God because guilt is on your shoulders. If you would turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21.
Mm-hmm. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
You have to have a good conscience toward God. And God wants us to become God conscious. That's what the new covenant is all about, becoming God conscious, putting away the sin conscious attitude, because you can never reach God. You can never overcome if you're sin conscious. And what we've done is become a mixture. We're sin conscious sometimes, and we're God conscious sometimes. But God says, if you're being led by revelation, you'll become God conscious, and that is what will set you free. So let's go back again to Matthew chapter 28 and look at this to see what this is saying. Verse 19, Mickey.
Okay. Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Does anybody know what an adverb is? What questions does an adverb answer? It goes with verbs, and it says how. When, what degree, to what degree. It answers those questions. So if you look at this scripture, there's actually an adverb phrase involved in it. It says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. How? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. We've already determined that word teach there means to disciple. You have to have discipling to change the way that you think. To back up for just a minute, in Luke chapter 24, verse 49, if you want to turn there, Mickey.
Luke 24, verse 49, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high."
Thank you. The word "endued" means to be clothed with. Jesus said, "Wait until I give you power. Clothe you with my power." Jesus was anointed of the Holy Spirit. In Acts 10:38, it says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And the word "anoint" means to smear with oil, to stain, to furnish what is needed. If you're endued with power, you're furnished with what is needed. You're clothed with what is needed. If you're anointed, you take on a stain. You're endued or with power and furnish what you need in order to carry out the work. In the Old Testament, the temple was anointed with oil. The Old Testament, the temple was a physical place. Where is the temple now? The temple is within you. In the Old Testament, kings and priests were anointed with oil so that they could do the work that they were called to do. According to the New Testament, who are kings and priests? We are. Now, the word "baptize" means to make fully wet, to completely saturate, to stain as with a dye, to thoroughly identify with the one into whom you are being baptized. Turn to Galatians chapter 3, verse 27 and read it.
Galatians 3:27, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ."
The word "put on" means to sink into a garment. So if we look at all of these in perspective, that word "baptizes" actually means to equip you with something, to equip you with what you need in order to do the work of the ministry. And you put on Christ. You put on the Father. You put on the Holy Spirit. In Mark, or Matthew, let's see. In Mark chapter 16. Read that one, verse 16.
Mark 16, verse 16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned."
You know, there's a lot of Christians that believe, but they're not walking in righteousness, peace, and joy right now. The kingdom of heaven is within you, and it's not meat and drink, it's righteousness, peace, and joy. It's actually when you become saved, when you begin to let the Spirit lead you, you begin to experience the things pertaining to the kingdom. But there are a lot of people that believe, but they've never put on Christ. They've never put on the Holy Spirit. They've never put on a new identity. And they walk in frustration. And what Jesus is telling the disciples here is to go and teach the nation, baptizing them, clothing them with the identity that they need to walk out their salvation, to walk out this kingdom that's within them, to begin to experience the things of the kingdom of God. And Mickey's going to just go into that a little farther.
So, in this, in what Susan has been talking to you about, you know, where it talks about in that scripture, "You shall be baptized in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit," what I want to do is basically share with you a little bit about, okay, about what does it mean about being baptized into the Father? You know, what are your credentials there? What is he telling you about being baptized in the Father, in the Son, and in the Holy Spirit? Because if we start off with the Father said, you know, in the beginning God created. And he created us in what? In his likeness and in his image. Okay? So right away, hey, I'm looking at God right there in a multitude of ways. And it's a beautiful thing. We're created in his likeness and in his image. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So God told man to be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. In Genesis 1:28. And he goes in Psalms, the psalmist in Psalms 145 verse 10 says, all thy works shall praise the Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power. To make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. To make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and his glorious majesty in his kingdom. To make known. When we go, okay, as what Susan was talking about, as kings and priests, as ambassadors. And God also said, he said, go and take dominion. You know, we're talking about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in whom we are baptized in. He said for us to go and take dominion. In Hebrews 2, verse 8, he says, thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things that are put under him. All those things that Jesus received, because that's who he's talking about. He says, when Jesus said to us, he says, all things that my Father has given to me, I give unto you. Now, you go and do likewise. You go and do likewise. Okay? We're talking about his credentials. Our credentials. Because of whom we are in him. We are sons, and that word is in the pluralistic sense. We are sons and daughters. And in the time that we're here, you might hear that 100 times from us. But it's something that sometimes it is difficult for us, some more than others, to see ourselves in that image, in that likeness, in that position, because of what our past is, maybe, or what we've been through, or what we are going through, whatever the case may be. For each and every one of us, there's X number of people here. There's an X number of differences in each one of us. But God is here to say the same thing. Hey, sons, daughter, hey, I want you to see you as I see you. I want you to see you as my son, as my daughter. I want you to see yourself empowered by me and know who it is that is within you. Because you're not alone. And you don't have to do things alone. Okay? God created man to reproduce of himself. It's interesting. Back in that scripture where he says, go and multiply. Okay? Now follow me in this. Okay? If we are created in his image, are we not? In his likeness, are we not? Who are we supposed to multiply? Huh? Thank you. That's exactly right. We're supposed to be multiplying him. But if we're multiplying him, how do we do it? Say again. Give that truth to others. But we have to have that truth, as Susan said. We have to have that revelation within us to start with. I can't give you something I don't have. Amen? So I have to see myself as the Son that he sees me as, so I can go and multiply others. And it doesn't matter, you know, God will put you before people that you think you might be sent to this level as economic whatever, or this as far as importance, or what. He will put you in front of kings and priests. He will put you in front of pastors. He will put you in front of church leaders. It doesn't matter, because what? They need the same understanding that you have now received. That's something that Susan and I came to know. We're standing before pastors and those, and we're thinking, well, you know, I'm figuring that they have some idea of this. And they, with their humble hearts, would confess to us. And I say confess. In other words, they shared their hearts with us. We've never heard this. Yeah, that's what we say. Wow. But it is truth. Because religion and tradition has been the ones who has been teaching them. It's not been the Word of God. It's not been the truth that has set them free. So they're still under that slave mentality, under that old mentality, under that Old Testament type manner of thinking, of carrying forth their lives. And what has that created in them as pastors, as leaders of churches? And it flows forth into their congregation. Frustration. Asking, almost doubting in what God, who God is and what God can do, because he tells me in his word one thing, but I don't see the evidence. It's because I don't understand what he's saying to me. That revelation has not come within. And so that's why I encourage you, as Mike and Carrie were encouraging you, hey, if it's something that's too big, then that's of God, you know. But he's, don't put limits on him, like Mike said. Let's go and reproduce ourselves. Man was created in weakness, so that weakness, I'll mention to you a little bit in next hour. It's not a question of a lack of, in that sense. It's basically from the standpoint of view that we there's a part of us, spirit, soul, and body. Okay, what's the weakest part? Our body, our flesh, carne. You know, we give into it so many. You know, I'm hungry. You know, kind of thing. That's what I'm saying. So he created us with that part. Okay, that is a still of the flesh. Okay, that we have to bring on subjection. But it says that so that the strength would be of God and not of ourselves. Okay? It has always been that God's intent to clothe man with his strength. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of power may be of God and not of us. His power. Remember yesterday, I believe I
shared with you all.
Thank God. Maybe I didn't. Maybe that's the next hour. God created us in his likeness, in his image, correct? But he created us not to be apart from him, not to really exist apart from him. It's we that have been, you know, but now that Jesus has come, reconciled and paid for everything, he wants to gather us back unto him as we once were. As we once were. God does not require perfection. He wants us to know him through a truth. A truth. Psalms 40, verse 6. Sacrifice and offerings thou this not desire. My ears has thou open. Burnt offerings and sin offerings hast thou not required. For I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more. This is Hosea 6:6 now. I was reading from Psalms 40, verse 6. Now Hosea chapter 6, verse 6. It says, for Hosea was saying, for I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. Mm. And God has committed to the success of mankind. It is He that wants us to prosper and have and receive and walk in all that He has given us. Okay, so we are baptized into first the Father, now the Son. The Son. Well, man has walked in guilt and the imperfections of his flesh, and it's kept him from seeing the purpose that God really has created him and how he is to be. But all in all, God sent Jesus to release us from that guilt of sin, to pay for that. You know all this. He sent his Son, okay? Talking about baptism, these are our credentials. We are baptized into the Father. We're now baptized into the Son. Now, what has the Son provided for us? The Son has provided that redemption. It's through Him who paid it all for us. But, you know, He did not come to condemn. John 3:17, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Verse 18, he that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That's just the same thing that John said here was what was said before, in, I believe it was Matthew, where he says, baptizing you in the name of the Father, and if you would not, then are you damned. And I explained to you about that. It's not He that's damning us, it's that we are damning ourselves. In the same, and John brings it out in a very key way. Jesus came to His glory when He heard the Father say, this is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And Jesus gave us the right to see ourselves as sons and pleasing to the Father. Our position as Son is secure because it's based on what we have done. No, it's based on what Jesus has already done for us. It's based on what Jesus has done. Many times in the scriptures, and you know, I don't have them listed out, but it talks about, you know, when we talk about faith. Check yourselves out sometimes when you read those scriptures, because it says what? The faith of Jesus. It says the faith of Jesus. Not my faith. It's His faith. I mean, He you know, He even carries that for us in that sense. I think I shared with you a while back in out of the book of John, when I was sharing with you about being performance-based acceptance person, and how, you know, I went through a lot of my life. And so it brought me to a question that I asked the Lord one time. Well, Lord, you know, works and doing things is something that I am just accustomed to, you know. And that sounds good, you know, working for God and serving God. That is very, and it has its place. But I found out that even, you know, the apostles, they asked, you know, here in John 6, verse 28, then said they unto Him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? You know, they even had a question about that. So beautiful. Verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God. Oh, I was ready for this, but I wasn't ready for the answer. That ye believe on Him whom He has sent. If I have a work, He says, son, if you want to do a work, believe on Jesus and His finished work. Death, burial, and resurrection of what He did for you. That will keep you busy for a while. If we desire to do a work, that's the work that we need to do. Is believe on what Jesus Christ has already done. Believe on the love of God that so loved the world that He sent His Son. And when His Son came and what His Son did and accomplished and did all that was supposed to be done, and He said, it is finished. Believe you me, He did not leave anything undone or uncompleted in any way. So from there, Jesus provided everything that we need to pertains to life and godliness. 2 Peter 1:3 tells us that. And we are sons equipped with the nature of our Father. In 2 Peter 1:4, whereby are given unto us exceeding and great precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of divine nature. Of what? Divine nature. Remember, we're made in His likeness and in His image. Okay, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. Remember, I mentioned to you about, you know, what is sin in the simplest way? Is that we're trying to obtain something that we think God can't give us, that God can't provide for us, in whatever area of our life it may be. That's the simple way, that we're trying to do something that we believe God can't do for us. And God has delivered us from that. Okay, so we have the baptism, our credentials of the baptism of the Father who has created us, of the Son who came and fulfilled everything and did everything for us, redeemed mankind for us. And now we have the Holy Spirit. As Jesus said unto them, hey, it's better that I go, and the Father will send that Comforter that will be with you always. And though He sends the Comforter on the day of Pentecost, who is here with us, as you all answered when Susan asked, you know, where is the temple now? We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. It is only through the work of the Holy Spirit that we can become God conscious. Remember, He said He will speak of those things which I have told you. He will come and He will put you in remembrance of those things. He'll not speak of Himself, but He'll only speak of the things that I have told you and tell you everything thereof. And that's the Holy Spirit. To help us to come to that position of understanding and seeing ourselves the way that God sees us. And the way that God would have for us. So, being baptized, every believer is equipped with the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:38 says, and Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of the sins, and that ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the mind of Christ that is within us. In John 16:13, he says, howbeit when the Spirit of truth is come, He'll guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you the things to come. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore I say unto thee, that He shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. I always, you know, always share this with a lot of the pastors in the places that we go to, because one of my favorite, now it is at least, one of my favorite things that I commonly have heard throughout my Christian life is, in the earlier years, may I say, we never know what God is going to do. You know, you'll never know. And just like that, that's what the pastor did. That's right. And you know, and I understand sometimes, you know, when pastors get in a situation where a tragedy happens or whatever, and you know, you have a family and you're trying to console them and those kind of things. And I'm sure you've heard the testimonies that Andrew has, and that was such a powerful testimony about how he just prayed and really went to the family of this lady, this couple that, you know, their child had died and stuff like that. I told him, you know, I don't know what it is, but God is not, you know, God's not at fault here, you know. And he helped them to see that in that manner. But that cliche is so prevalent. And so I take him over there to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, you know, in where it talks about that it's the Holy Spirit, that He'll show you all things because He knows the heart of God, you know. And they all look at it and they says, oh,
Oh, okay. You know, in other words, that's just something that we caught on to, and it sounds good. And because we don't understand and we don't know, hey, I'll stick that one in my pocket and I'll use it when I need to. But really, God wants us to know everything, and he's provided the means by which we can know everything. Remember Hosea 4:6. Hey, my people perish for what? For the lack of knowledge. For the lack of knowledge. And if that traitor, that rebellious guy can come in there, and as we were talking about yesterday in Mark 4:15, where it says the thief comes immediately for the word's sake, that the word was within you, if he can steal that word, that's what he wants to do. If he can keep us ignorant, okay? And that's the thing that, you know, that we're seeing. And I'm sure, you know, as Mike and Carrie were testifying of these things, that the people are coming to them and saying, "What, you know, thank you. We haven't heard about this. Give us more." Why? Because the spirit, the word opens up the spirit of man, the spirit that's within man that God has placed there. And all of a sudden, it's like, hey, we've got something to eat finally, and we've been starving all these years. But it's that spiritual food that only God can quench that thirst and fulfill that hunger. And when they first get a taste of it, my gosh, they'll go through any length and drive any, or, you know, ride on the bus, whatever means they have to do to get there, they will get there. Because they know it's something that has touched their hearts and changed their lives. And my gosh, you know, when you see that, yeah, you get overjoyed because you see the scriptures coming alive. The it's almost like the Holy Spirit, you can hear those words. See, I told you. I told you it was right. I told you it was truth. And when you start to see it in people, and they're getting liberated, they're getting set free, they're getting, you know, that hunger is starting to be satisfied, but it gives them more hunger for more word and more understanding. And the more understanding and the more word they get, the more liberated they get, and the more power and the more that they start to see themselves. Remember what the scripture says, hey, we look in a glass that's kind of dim and you know, but all of a sudden that glass starts to, you know, in their hearts, they start to see themselves. Because they start to see God in themselves. And that's the power thereof. Because now they can walk in something that has power. And they can see it. Because they start to see it from within. And it's that revelation that Susan was talking about. That it starts to turn on that light bulb. And it goes from a 60 watt. To 70 watt. To 100 watt. 150 watt. And then the halogen light. Yeah, because it's the light that dispels all the darkness. Amen. The Holy Spirit reveals himself in the mystery of our identity. Colossians 1:27 says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Holy Spirit empowers us to reveal to others what has been revealed to us. He's the one that gives us that power. As it says in Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea, Samaria, and all the uttermost parts of the earth. It starts within us. And as Susan was saying, it goes out. Because we can't give what we don't have. So the world may know God loves them. As John 17:18 says, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so I also send them into the world. And the glory which thou hast gavest me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. The whole part, as she was sharing about baptism, is sometimes we it can be taken as something of a tradition. And I know, I think I was baptized twice also when I was first came to the Lord in 1979, and then later on in 1991, I believe it was, when I took a trip to Jerusalem and in the River Jordan, I was baptized there. But you know, her example was a perfect example, because sometimes we use it just as a tradition kind of thing, and whether it's in the name of the, you know, Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, or whether it's in the name of Jesus, and those kind of things. And those kind of things, sometimes even to people, you know, as she said, and I've seen it also, it's, you know, are you baptized? Well, you have to be baptized in this church, you know, for that you can belong to this church, and those kind of things. And, you know, that creates walls. Did Jesus ever say anything about, you know, oh, you got to be baptized, you know, in the Church of the Jordan, or you know, and that kind of thing to belong to this congregation or something like that? No. Let us understand what God is telling us with these things, with His Word, so that we can be more seeing ourselves in His image as He did, as He walked, so that we can walk in that power, because that's what we want to see. That's what we want to experience, so that when we speak and we can share, you know, I know you've heard it many a times, many people that probably have said it, hey, preach the gospel, and when you have to, speak words. In other words, let them see Jesus in you. That's one of the highest compliments, I believe, that a person could receive, really, is when you're just carrying forth your yourself in your everyday life, doing the things that God has directed you to do in your everyday life, and people can see Jesus in you because of the way that you conduct yourself, the way that you handle certain situations, the way that when circumstances come, and circumstances will come, I mean, you know, John 16:33, hey, in this world you'll have tribulations, but be encouraged, I have overcome the world, okay? And when we know whom we are and who we have within us, okay, and who we represent, the credentials that we hold that have been freely given unto us, and we can walk in them, not like pompous or anything else, but understanding, because Jesus wasn't like that. He was one who was humble, but he was one who was strong. He knew who he was. I mean, you know, we read over and over in the scriptures about, you know, he preaches with power and authority. He knew who he was. And he didn't do anything except what the Father told him to do. So from that standpoint of view, you know, let us take hold that as we have been we have been baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, that we know who we are in Christ. Because He's the one who provided those credentials for us. We don't need to seek those credentials. So let's walk in the power of that has been given to us as He walked in that manner. Amen?